Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. Barry is in Korea this week, and it's an absolute delight to have Peter Jackson with me. So, Peter, you're really welcome. Thank you so much for being with us this week.
Thanks, Mark. Pleasure.
Really looking forward to it. Peter will be known to many people, but you've really got quite a long history in this revelation of the Father, haven't you?
I have. It's been 40 years, so I'm ready to come out of the wilderness now.
Wow, 40 years.
Yeah, it began 1983. My wife and I went to Daystar Ministries, which was founded by Jack Winter. You know, I kind of went there with the idea I needed more anointing, more power. And I just had my life turned upside down, which was actually right side up.
Yeah. Which I guess is the experience of many of us. We've gone somewhere for more anointing, more power, and we've actually found the greater truth along the way.
Yeah. All about the love.
Yes. So what was it like being with Jack in Daystar all those years ago, Peter?
Yeah, it was very, obviously, very revelationary. I mean, Jack, he was quite an odd person because he wasn't very social. But I tell you, when he would speak, it was just like hearing directly from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really impacted me in a way that no other teacher had. It was just like spirit to spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of when I became a Christian, I met someone who had that same, you know, revelation of Jesus. But when he spoke to me, he was speaking right to my spirit.
Wow.
It was like undoing.
Was it a long undoing process?
Yeah, it still is.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So how long were you in Daystar for with Jack?
We were there from, it was almost 7 years.
Okay.
And we felt to come back to Canada in 89. And that's when we met John and Carol Arnott in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And they were starting the, at that time it was a Toronto vineyard. And then we come to find out, you know, getting to know them, that Jack had ministered the Father's love to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was just kindred spirit.
Yeah. Yes. So you came back from Daystar to that church in Toronto, which became the center of everything happening in 1994.
Yeah. The epicenter.
The epicenter. Yes. Yeah. Now, I remember going there in, the first time I went there was 2002, to a Father Loves You conference, which Fiona and I went to that conference because we were burnt out. We'd had enough. We were kind of ready to give up on a lot of things, but not God. You know, a lot of all the paraphernalia that we attract to Christianity over the years. And we were about to give up on all of that. And, you know, we were exhausted, and we came to the Father Loves You conference. And I heard James Jordan speak on the first night about being a son. And that landed in my heart. And I knew that's what I'd always longed for. And it was a pretty intensive week for us. There was James, Denise, Jack, Frost. And you actually were one of the speakers as well, Peter, that week. And I always enjoyed your sessions because they were incredibly powerful, you know, don't get me wrong, but they had a lot of light relief and laughter added in, which kind of made the rest of the week a little bit more manageable. to actually see that, you know, we could get through everything that was going on in our hearts, and yeah, people can still come to a place of laughter and joy.
Yes, there is joy after mourning.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So you were at Daystar a few years after the James and Denise were there, weren't you?
Yeah, we never met them because they'd just been there 1 year in 78 to 79. And we didn't meet them until actually they came to Toronto in 94.
Wow.
And
yeah.
They came with Jack, and it was just, you know, kindred spirit.
Yeah.
So we've just felt like we've known each other all our lives, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
We haven't spent all that much time together.
That's great. Yeah. One of the things Barry and I often say together, Peter, is this revelation, and not so much the revelation, but what it's actually done for our hearts, is really the pearl of great price.
Yeah.
Is that something you'd go with?
Oh, definitely. You know, I think mostly from my relationship with my father, I, just like James, had closed my heart to him at a very early age, actually when I was 12. And that's when I, you know, sort of opened up to the orphan spirit big time. But, you know, the problem with my father was he would promise but never fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So, as it says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes your heart grow sick.
Yeah.
But a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. And, you know, at Daystar, of course, we had a week on openness and brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
Before we heard this revelation of the Father. And I was able to, you know, forgive my dad, not just because I knew I had to, but because I really understood he could not give me something he had not received.
Yeah.
So I had compassion on him for the first time. And of course, that releasing that forgiveness just open my heart to receive the revelation of the Father's love.
It's such a powerful thing, isn't it, when we really come to that place of forgiveness from the heart.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's amazing to me, God's timing, because Heather, my wife, was in that same class, same seminar, but it wasn't until 10 years later she was able to open her heart.
Wow, yeah.
Because she was raped when she was 13. And you know, God brought us to a prison in Montgomery, Alabama, full of sex offenders.
Wow.
And she realized, you know, and she didn't want to go to that prison simply because she realized her heart was still closed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, long story short, God gives her a vision of all these people dressed in white. And they all have this banner across their chest that says, pardoned.
Wow.
And he spoke to her and said, you know, they are just as forgiven as you are.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes.
Yeah.
And so she begrudgingly went to that prison, just full of angst. And a friend of ours who took us down there, Melinda Fish, she said to Heather, I think you should speak first, very, very prophetically. I think you should go first. And Heather was like, yeah, I want to go first, you know. And she stood up there and she told her story of being a victim of rape and abuse. And, you know, just told those guys, there was 500 guys in that meeting, and you could hear a pin drop, because she was not speaking her testimony in love. She was the anger was coming out as she was speaking.
Wow.
And but by the end of it, she spoke for about 20 minutes. By the end of her sharing that, she was just in tears.
Wow.
And one by one, these guys stood up and spoke, you know, ask forgiveness from her.
Oh.
And she was able to speak that forgiveness over them, which just absolutely broke the place wide open.
Wow. That's amazing.
We were there for 5 days, five sessions.
Yeah.
And I tell you, by the end of that week, it was like you felt like you were in a 747 just going down the runway and then taking off.
Yeah.
And the next week, we were scheduled to speak at the School of Ministry in Toronto. And, you know, in Heather's heart, the dam had broke. She was amazed at the, you know, she was receiving the Father's love. Just
wow.
She just spontaneously just start weeping and you know, experiencing that love at such a deep level. Anyway, so we speak at this school the next week, and she just stood up and shared exactly what happened at this prison the week before. And one of the most obnoxious students in that school, his name was Neil. He was a rocket scientist from NASA, of all things. So very intellectual. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was just not getting it. He was sitting through the classes, but just getting more and more angry because other people were, you know, getting free and he was just stuck. Anyway, Heather's testimony that just broke him. And he was able to forgive his father, who was also a rocket scientist at NASA. And, you know, everything had to be perfect. Everything was intellectual. That's the way he was raised. Mm-hmm. You can't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And it was Heather's testimony that just broke him wide open. And he actually, after that school, he didn't go back to NASA. He volunteered at this prison for 2 years.
Wow.
To help those prisoners, you know, process what he had received at the school.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, what an amazing story. I mean, this revelation really transforms people's lives, Peter, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
I mean, you've probably seen many, many more thousands than I have, but it's fresh every it's fresh every time, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I often think how, like Jesus, the heart of Jesus, of course, was the heart of the Father, who wanted everyone to get what Jesus has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John 17, that I want you to have the same glory and honor I have, and have the same relationship with the Father I have.
Yeah.
I want you to experience the same love, the same identity, beloved son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm laying my life down for.
Yeah.
And so when we receive the Father's love, we have that same passion to see as many people as possible get what we have received.
Yeah. Yes. And it never gets old, does it?
Oh, man. Never does.
No.
Never does.
No. Well, Peter, it's an absolute joy to have you with us. I'm going to hand the whole screen over to you and just give you however long you want and just really go wherever you want to go with it, and you know, call me back in when you're ready to call me back in. And if you want me to join you for praying for people, I'm happy to do that.
Sure.
But really, just over to you. And you guys watching, if you want to put in the chat where you're watching from, that'd be great. But Peter, over to you.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Well, hi everyone. As Mark said, I've, you know, been around this revelation for 40 years, and but still it's the ripple effect. It just continues to go deeper and wider as I cooperate with what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life. And I, you know, my two of my favorite scriptures in Ephesians, the prayers that Paul prayed, you know, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And in the Greek, that word know is not know about him only, but know him personally, know him experientially, you know, that you have a spirit-to-spirit connection with him. So Paul, you know, those two prayers he prays, the second one in Ephesians 3, you know, that we would have a love that surpasses knowledge, and that it would just, we'd be rooted and established in love. And, you know, I can say before this revelation, I was so rooted and established in fear. And, you know, when love begins to break through in your heart, the fear's got to go. As it says in 1 John 4, perfect love casts out all fear. And I remember reading in Time magazine, they did a poll of 500 random people. So from all walks of life, they polled and asked these questions. And one of the questions was, you know, what fear do you have in your life? And I can't remember all the fears, but the most common fear was the fear of rejection and the fear of what other people think about you and the fear of, you know, not being good enough, which, by the way, is the root fear of all shame. So, you know, what we do when we have that fear, because everybody is longing for the approval, the acceptance, that connection with other people, we find ourselves, you know, selling out who we are and losing who we are to fit into the expectation of somebody else. And so we never know who we really are. And we just live up to what other people want us to be. And of course, Jesus faced that pressure continually while he was on earth, because he just didn't fit in the box of religion. You know, he was confronting people's religiosity, self-righteousness on a regular basis with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and people who didn't understand love, people who had closed hearts. So, you know, for me, going to Daystar was the beginning of the opening of my heart. And the way it happened was, as I mentioned earlier, after really forgiving from my heart and having compassion for my own earthly father, it opened my heart to receive revelation of Abba's love. And the way that happened was I had a dream, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up out of a dead sleep with Heather sleeping next to me. And she was, you know, the way she would sleep is like light as a feather. I the way I slept, the train could go through the room. I wouldn't even hear it. I was like, I'm dead. But this particular night, I woke up about 3 a.m. out of a dead sleep, having a dream where I'm looking into the eyes of Abba, Father. And it concerned a dream how the Father restored hope to me that he was not like my earthly father. He would not promise and never fulfill. And it really addressed that disappointment I had with my earthly father, that hope deferred that had made my heart grow sick. And in this dream, I'm looking into the eyes of Abba, and without any words being spoken, you know, they say communication is only 7% words. It's the way you look, your body language, and the tone in which you speak. The body language is like 53% of communication. And when I looked into the eyes of my Abba Father, the best way I could describe it was sheer delight. In the English language, that's the words that define highest possible pleasure. And, it, you know, this is happening to me spirit to spirit, and my mind is just kind of reeling with, how could you love me like this? How what have I done to deserve perfect love, unconditional love from a father, and a father who loves me so much he was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son for me, that I might believe in him and receive the Father's love, receive the relationship Jesus has with the Father. So anyway, in 1983 in the school, and I have this dream. It was literally like being born again. Because even though I'd been a Christian for 5 years, I was still acting like an orphan. It was still about self-righteousness. It was still about, being a human doing. And, I would think about people who just soaked or, were like Mary, sitting at the Lord's feet when all the preparations needed to be made. I would be looking down on those people, like, get to work, get busy. There's a world that needs to be saved. And in this dream, it just blew my circuits. And that began the big change in my life. And it's still going on today. I still find these attitudes, because I think we're in the world, And we can easily get the dust of the world on us from other people's opinions, other people's expectations. And if you're in the workforce and you're in sales, for instance, and your whole value and worth to that company is based on your performance, it's pretty hard to stay free from the pressure to perform. But that's what Jesus said in John 13. You're blessed if I wash your feet, and you'll be blessed if you wash each other's feet. And of course, we don't wash people's feet today. You get washed through the word, as it says in Ephesians. Today is a washing of the word, washing off maybe some attitudes, some expectations, some pressures. But I love what Jesus said to Mary, or said to Martha about Mary, when she was sitting at his feet. Martha, Martha, you are distracted by all these things. Mary has chosen the one thing that is better. And that one thing to be receiving, being filled spiritually with ongoing revelation of the Father's love, because it's not just who God is, it's who I am to him. And when you look at Matthew 3 there at the end of the chapter where Jesus is being baptized, the Father didn't speak from heaven and say, this is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I have the greatest delight. Other translations say he's the apple of my eye. He's my beloved. I have the highest possible pleasure just him being my son. So when we get saved and we start on this journey, it's literally taking your life that's been upside down, works righteousness, and flipping it up the other way to faith righteousness. And I think that's, Jesus said, that's the stumbling stone, that your acceptance with the Father, your favor with the Father, your relationship with the Father is all a gift. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It has to be freely received. And, that's so against the way I was raised. I was raised that if you didn't earn it, you don't deserve it. And you've got to try harder. You've got to do more. And I love what Paul said in Philippians 3. He said, as far as legalistic righteousness, self-righteousness based on my performance, I consider that dung. That's a complete waste. And he knew that from experience being a Pharisee. Where everything's based on doing everything perfect and never disobeying the orders. and you know, everything out of the head, not the heart. So that's the way I've got to treat self-righteousness, that it is a complete waste for me to spend my life trying to impress other people through what I do. And instead of, you know, striving to do better in order to be better, I want to learn how to be better in order to do better. That I really concentrate on being a human being, not a human doing. But, you know, you get saved and you're loved the same as Jesus. You're adopted as a beloved son or daughter. Your inheritance is yours. But then it's and that's the gift. And you spend the rest of your life unwrapping the gift, understanding what you have been given freely. And so, you know, I say to people all the time, don't ever think that this teaching about the Father's love and sonship is just a teaching. This, you know, it's just a message. Oh, I heard that. I got that book. No, this is a continual undoing of our lives. The first verse that God gave my wife and I when we became Christians was Joel 2:25. And it says, I will restore to you all the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the great army I sent among you. And you know, to restore the fatherless, motherless years, to restore a sonship where you feel to God your Father, you're the apple of his eye. You're his beloved son or daughter. It's just, you know, a miracle. And that is the real gold, to know my true identity, that I don't have to add anything to what Jesus did. I can't take away from what he did. I cannot add to what he did. It is a finished work. And it is a gift of salvation that has to be freely received deeper and deeper and deeper in my heart. So as Paul prays there in Ephesians 3, that we become rooted and established in love, not in fear, in love. But and as we receive that love deeper and deeper in our lives, which includes loving ourselves as the Father loves us, having the same opinion of ourselves the Father has of us, and then passing that on to other people, to our neighbors. That's the mystery. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That I have nothing in the way of him being fully expressed through me. That I am expressing what it's like to be a beloved son of the Father, a forgiven son of the Father, a blessed son of the Father. You know, for that word blessed, you could say happy. You know, I'm God's happy thought. He's delighted in me. I'm his highest possible pleasure. And nothing I do or don't do changes his opinion of me. That's incredible. It's not based on my performance. It is a gift of grace. And so when you read in Ephesians 2:8, you know, we've been saved by grace through faith alone, not by works, so no man can boast. We are God's workmanship. And so, you know, the way I'm saved by grace through faith alone has to be the way I live the rest of my life, or learn to live the rest of my life. Not by works, not by, you know, performance, not by getting everything perfect, but by grace through faith alone. And instead of having faith in my faith, have faith in the grace that is within me. So, you know, when you look through the scripture and you see something like this in Numbers 12:3, where Moses is chosen, not because of his perfect record or you know, he got everything right. He was, you know, a murderer, a fugitive. But God says about him, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And of course, if there would have been a more humble man, he would have chosen that person. And here's Moses, who's, you know, he's supposed to be the spokesman for God, and he stutters. He's weak. He hasn't got it all together. But God chooses him not because of his ability, but because of his humility. And that's, wow, that is just huge when it comes to this revelation of the Father. See, if I would not have humbled myself in 1983 when I understood forgiveness from the heart, which is really humility, seeing things from God's perspective, and you know, release that forgiveness, humbled myself and admitted my judgment towards my father and my mother and several other authority figures in my life. If I would not have humbled myself, this would all just be theory instead of reality. It wouldn't have got from here to here. And, you know, it's, as I said earlier, the prayer that Paul prays there in Ephesians 1 is that we would know him intimately better. That was Paul's prayer. Constantly on his knees, praying that the glorious Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would help us, you know, to understand how much we need him and a deeper, an ongoing revelation of who he is. What is he like as a father? And then the fruit of that is that I would have the eyes of my heart opened to know who I am in the Father as his beloved son. And so, you know, Paul understanding how much death there was in just head knowledge and book knowledge and just, you know, being a Pharisee of Pharisees, having everything right in the natural, but being dead in the spirit. He knew, wow, dead works really make you dead. And you're so deceived because you think you know something just because you've read about it, you've heard it. But you don't know it until it's a revelation. And, you know, in those verses there in Ephesians, I'll just take this up here. Ephesians chapter 3. He says in verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is worked within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations." You know, one of the questions they asked those people on that Time magazine poll was, if you were in trouble, would you go to the church for help? And one of the people who responded to that question was a prostitute. And she said, that would be the last place I would go to for help. And, you know, that is evidence that the church has not, you know, received or is not flowing in the Father's love. One of the big reasons people flocked from all over the world to come to Toronto is because that church, the John and Carol's church, their mission statement was to walk in God's love and give it away to the world from day one. Because they understood just from receiving the Father's love from Jack, how important it is for that to be the foundation of your life. That he's come to restore all the years the locusts have eaten. That you know, you have a relationship with the Father that is not tainted by how your earthly mother or father or whoever raised you in dysfunction. You know, that has fallen away. So that you are free to receive the Father's love and to give that love away. And, you know, that all began for me 40 years ago. But as I said, it's to know the width, the height, and the depth and the breadth of his love. We have to constantly make way for the kingdom of God. We have to constantly let go of any selfishness, narcissism, poor little old me, unforgiveness, lies of the enemy. You know, the powers, the words people speak have the power of life or death. We can easily, you know, I say this all the time, if I gave you five compliments but one criticism, what would you remember? We are so used to just focusing on the negative. And oftentimes those critical fault-finding words, they have a spirit behind them. It's called the accuser of the brethren. And he wants you to live under his opinion, not God the Father's opinion of you. And I'm just going to finish this off with, when we look at John 17, which is this high priestly prayer that Jesus prays right before he's arrested and crucified. From verse 20 to the end of the chapter, he prays for all believers. So this is not just Jesus praying. He's praying the Father's heart for you and me. This is why he's come to earth. This is what he's going to be crucified for in your place, that he's going to, you know, die for what my deeds deserve so I can get what his deeds deserve, which is righteousness, peace, and joy forevermore. But it says here in verse 22, and I remember reading this verse after reading, you know, this chapter several times, this verse just jumped off the page, where it says, I have given them the glory and honor that you gave me. Now, he's praying this for you and me. This is 2,000 years ago, right before he's going to go to the cross. This is love. This is perfect love. I'm going to go to the cross so you get the glory and honor the Father's given me. Hello. Incredible. Sacrificial love. But so filled with the passion of the Father that he's willing to lay down his life, and he's already been to Gethsemane. He's already got a taste of what he's going to have to suffer on the cross. He's sweat blood. He was so undone by just a taste of what it was going to be like to go through the cross. But as it says in Hebrews, he endured the cross, scorning its shame for the glory set before him. We are the glory set before him. Jesus knew by going to the cross, he could bring each one of us into the same relationship he has with the Father. I mean, wow, when that gets from here to here in your spirit, it's like a volcano. It's like, how can you not be grateful? How can you not, forgive what anybody else has done to you when you realize you've been forgiven? Jesus took your place on the cross so that you could take his place in the Father. Wow. So he says, I have given them the glory and honor you gave me. He doesn't say, I will give them the glory and honor that you gave me when they act like me. No, he is giving this gift freely. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You just have to believe it with your heart. This is the full gospel. The full gospel. So I have given them the glory and honor that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, or the same as we are one. Is that your vision? That's sure my vision, that I be one with the Father as Jesus is one. That I'm not a second-class citizen as an adopted son. I am just as much the beloved of the Father as Jesus is. Because Jesus says, I've given them the glory and honor you gave me. And that word glory in the Greek doesn't just mean splendor or majesty. It actually, the primary meaning of glory is the Father's view and opinion. The Father's view and opinion. That becomes my view and opinion. So Jesus says at the cross, I'm going to the cross so they can have the same glory and honor that you gave me. That they would have the same value. They would have the same radiance that I have. That when people look at them, they see something that's different. The lights are on in somebody's home. It's not like you see a lot of Christians, and I used to be like this. Yeah, I was saved, but I was keeping it a secret of shame. The shades were down. And I didn't want, I had my greatest fear was that if you really knew me, you would reject me. Because I believed about myself, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough, which was just proved over and over and over again. And you see, this revelation blows that to pieces because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, all by gift, not by works, all by grace. And it has to be freely received. So, in order for me to receive this, I first have to believe it, right? And I say this all the time. If I'm holding my opinion in this hand, and somebody speaks an opinion from the Father, a prophecy, or just quotes a scripture, or Jesus himself, you are my beloved son, and they're trying to get me to receive this, I have to let go of what I previously believed to receive the gift. And that was the missing link for me before I went to Daystar. Because really, that defines when you have two opinions of yourself or two opinions of God, you're double-minded. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 6, that makes us unstable in all our ways. And the instability is like when I'm with these people, I'm a different person. When I'm at church, I'm a different person. When I'm with my family, I'm a different person. I can never be my true self because I tell you, when you live under this pressure to be perfect, this pressure to perform and be a human doing, you lose yourself. One of my favorite Eagles songs was written after their band broke up and many of them divorced, lives went to therapy. And one of the songs I think Don Henley wrote was "The Heart of the Matter." Look it up on YouTube. It's a very powerful song. But one of the lyrics goes like this: "I lost me and you lost you, but it's all about forgiveness and getting down to the heart of the matter." And we can, you know, become so distant with God when we're losing ourselves by believing we're somebody we're not. And that's called pride. And pride is not just superiority, it's also inferiority. So seeing myself less than who I am is the same pride as seeing myself more than who I am. And the only way that this works is if I humble myself and I start to believe how the Father sees me instead of how I've seen myself, how other people have seen me. So this, getting back to John 17, in the last verse, verse 26, it says, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So as I said in the beginning, this is an ongoing revelation. This is having a love that surpasses knowledge. And you know, the fear of the Lord is, I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor who I am in his eyes. I want to be in agreement in my heart with how he sees me. and be in agreement in my heart how he sees other people. And how I see him, who he really is. Not just in my intellect, not just my mind, but in my heart. And that's where revelation, as he prays in Ephesians 1, 14 through 17, "May the eyes of my heart, my imagination, be opened to really see who I am in the Father's eyes. And what is he really like as my dad, my Abba?" Okay, Mark, if you want to come back on board.
Brilliant. Thank you, Peter, so much. Wow.
Pleasure, man.
Man, I mean, this is it. This is what it's all about. And, you know, just John 17 is just one of my favorite chapters. Reading, oh, yeah. You know, just what is ours. And just as you were talking, Peter, I guess I was just struck again, you know, how easily it is for us to get sidetracked. You know, we have a revelation, our heart is changed, we have this encounter with love, and it doesn't take too long before we try to intellectualize it or take it into our heads. And, you know, I'm so glad that Romans 5 verse 5 says he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know, he doesn't pour it into our mind in the hope that one day, maybe, it might drop into our hearts. You know, we think that's how it goes. And Peter was saying that, you know, we think it's going to go from here to here, but he pours his love into our hearts. And, you know, he's given us, Jesus has given us that relationship with the Father that he has, that we are loved. Like Jesus. I mean, I remember when that landed in my heart, it just blew me away. I couldn't believe it for a long time. You know, I could understand how the Father loved Jesus. That's easy. But how can he love me like that? And one day the Father said to me something very simple. He said, "Mark, how do you love your children?" And I thought, yeah, when they rebel, when they make wrong decisions, when they get stuck in their own ways, I don't stop loving them. And actually, it's in those times of rebellion that you almost love them more, isn't it, Peter? You know, because you want them to come home. And I just wonder if we can take a few moments just to pray for people, Peter. Yes. You know, that we have a fresh and new and real encounter with the love of the Father this evening.
Yeah, amen.
So I'll just put some music on and just open your hearts, folks. Just you know, just begin, just dare to believe that what Peter's been talking about, those scriptures he's read out, whatever your day's been like, whatever your week's been like, just dare to believe that it can happen for you. It can be true for you. And just say to yourself, you know, get those blockages out of the way and just be in that place to receive. So, yeah, Peter, kick off.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, one of the ways that really helped me open my heart more and more was learning how to meditate on those scriptures. You know, not just read them once in a while. But really, that word meditation means ruminate. You chew it over. You chew it over. And asking for the Holy Spirit for revelation.
Mm.
You know, it's written on my heart, not just something in my head. And as I meditate on his word, I become aware of the lie I believe.
Mm.
And I have to repent of that, renounce it, and then, you know, spend the next however many days or weeks it takes to write the truth on my heart.
Mm.
And really, Jesus said the work of God is this. This is John 6:28, to believe in the one he has sent.
Mm.
And that's not just intellectual, that's in my heart. Believe in my heart that what I believe in my heart is my default. I'm a son. I'm a beloved son. I'm not an orphan. I'm not a useless, you know, person. I'm not unworthy. I am beloved.
Mm.
I'm the highest possible pleasure of my Father. Whoa.
Yes, thank you.
That brings joy.
Yeah.
The bubbly, bubbly, bubbly.
Yeah. We want more of the bubbly, bubbly.
I was so amazed to find out that the word prophet in Hebrew is bubbly. What bubbles up. Because when I pray for people, often I will say bubbly, bubbly, bubbly. And this joy unspeakable begins to flow. And the cork gets popped out of the bottle. You know? I think, you know, in this world, we're just way too serious.
Yes.
We're just full of worry and anxiety and stuff. And, you know, it's a real discipline to keep your mind focused on the bubbly, bubbly, bubbly. And because if the kingdom of God is within me, I have righteousness, I have peace, I have joy. And it's you know, letting the weights of this world that bog that down. And the concerns, the worries, the what ifs, the yes buts. I've got to meditate on the truth.
Yeah.
Take those scriptures. I mean, God is called Father in the New Testament 245 times. I was shocked by that. What? I never saw that. I mean, I could think of our Father who art in heaven, but 245 times.
Mm.
And look up those scriptures and begin to meditate on them.
Yeah.
Meditation is simply you ponder, you picture, and you practice.
Yeah.
You ponder, you picture, and you practice. And that the missing ingredient for most of us is using our imagination to really picture something. That I see myself, you know, in the lap of the Father, just being held by Him. So, Father, I just thank you today for everybody who's listening now or is going to be listening later. Mm. Wow, you are not a respecter of persons. What you've done for me, what you've done for Mark, you want to do every one of our lives because we are beloved children of God.
Yeah. Woo.
How, you know, what manner of love has the Father given unto us? It's perfect. It's unconditional.
Yeah.
It's unwavering. It's unfailing.
Mm.
Wow. Father, I just pray right now you'll help us to let go of any lies or just the heaviness of wrong thinking, wrong focus. And Lord, we want you to just wash us today through your Spirit, through your Word.
Yeah.
That we can keep that river flowing in and flowing out freely.
Yeah.
So I just pray for everyone who's watching this.
Ooh.
Yeah. Spirit, you will just impart.
Mm.
As you said, your words are spirit and life.
Mm.
And when a word from you is spoken, life and spirit is imparted.
Yeah.
And I just pray you'll help everyone who's listening today to let go of anything that's, you know, bogged them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a feeling of you want to give up or you're disappointed. Father, we just surrender those things to you.
Yeah.
And we want to let go of any lies about who we are, who you are, what your promise is to everyone who believes.
Yeah.
We want to let go of those lies today.
Yeah.
And we just, like little children, we just ask you to open our hearts.
Mm.
Roll the stone away from our hearts.
Yeah.
Lord, there's somebody here who's really been disappointed. Really had that hope deferred with you know, it's like, God, if you love me, why did this happen?
Yeah.
God, if you love me, why didn't this happen?
Mm.
I thought you said. Father, we surrender today.
Yeah.
We surrender those questions to you. Yeah. And Lord, ask you to soften our hearts, that we would just be like little children today. We would just be able to believe you because you said it.
Yeah.
Not because we know all the answers. We have all the everything worked out. Wow. Would you just come right now?
Yeah.
Blow the lid off.
Ooh.
Blow the lid off people's lives today.
Yeah.
Open the well. Open the well of the Spirit, each one of us. Oh, revive us today, Lord.
Yeah.
Revive us today.
Ooh.
May we be fully awakened to your love today. Oh,
I
just say, awake, O Israel.
Yeah. Thank
awake. To everyone who's listening, where put off your slumber, put off your passivity, your complacency.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Ooh.
Receive. Let the river that's in you just break forth today.
Yeah.
The river of the Father's love. That there's nothing in the way that's blocking your love from being received and flowing out. Wash, Father, by your Spirit today.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, thank you. Father, thank you this never grows old. Father, thank you this is fresh every day. Your mercies are new every morning.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, that last verse of John chapter 17, which Peter's read, may it be a living reality for each one of us that we are loved in the same way that Jesus is loved.
Yes, Father.
Father, would you just blast through the fear, the shame, all the stuff that stops us seeing who we really are as sons and daughters. Father, help us to see our true identity, that we are your beloved sons, we are your beloved daughters. Father, may this verse not be a theory, may it not be for everybody else, but may it become a living reality for each one of us today. That we are loved as Jesus is loved. Father, may that burn deeply into our hearts. And as Peter said, may it bubble up within us and cause us to have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, just for each person, whether they're watching or listening, Father, I just pray for that baptism of your love, that you'd immerse us, each one of us, in your love right now. Father, this would be a reality, that we wouldn't get sidetracked in a day or 2 days or 3 days, but this would be the reality we live in every day. And even if it's a bad day, we can still know that we're sons and daughters. We can still know that you're loving us. Father, thank you that it says you love us with an everlasting love. All of the love of eternity is being poured into our hearts right now. Father, I just pray that you would transform our lives by the power of your love. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus to make the way, to become the way for us.
Amazing, Father.
Thank you, Father. Woo.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more. Yeah.
Another drink.
Yeah.
I was thinking as you were praying, Mark, how, you know, that first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
And, you know, some translations translate that as the humble.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what the message, I think it's the message says, blessed are those who know their need of you.
Yes. Yeah.
Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Yes.
And to just say that every day, Father, I know my need of you today, yes, to father me.
Yes.
I haven't arrived yet. I'm still a little boy who's learning how to receive daddy's love and give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. And there's always more, eh?
Always more.
Always more. Wonderful.
Higher, wider, deeper.
Yeah. Peter, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, pleasure, Mark.
I hope we can have you again sometime.
For sure.
And do give our greetings to Heather. I'm sure she's been cheering you on in the background.
Yay!
That was a good one. So thank you. Next week, folks, we're back together with Barry. Well, Barry and I will be here. He'll be back from Seoul. He might be jet-lagged, but the two of us will be on. So thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you once again, Peter. The video will be online tomorrow on my Facebook page and on my website. So you can get a link for it to send to other people. So bless you. Thank you and see you next week.
Okay. God bless you, Mark.
Thank you.